Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 52. In this episode, I'll review the inpatient treatment of hypoglycemia. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode52. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. If you are already in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group, make sure you have downloaded the Slack app from the App Store on your phone or tablet. Installing the mobile app for Slack is what enables real-time messaging with other pharmacists. If you're not already in the Pharmacy Nation group, why not? It's free. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org or email me, joe@pharmacyjoe.com, to help myself remember and apply medical concepts. I break them down into the most simple terms I can. While most rapid response calls are for problems related to oxygen delivery, hypoglycemia is a problem of ATP generation. Hypoglycemia is a common reason for activation of in-hospital rapid response teams. It constitutes a medical emergency. However, most individuals will recover completely with treatment. Hypoglycemia may range from a mild lowering of the glucose to less than 70 milligrams per deciliter with minimal or no symptoms to severe hypoglycemia, less than 40 milligrams per deciliter, and neurologic symptoms. The lack of ATP generation results in both adrenergic and CNS responses, which comprise the symptoms of hypoglycemia. The adrenergic signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia include anxiety, irritability, dizziness, diaphoresis, pallor, tachycardia, headache, shakiness, and hunger. And it's these symptoms that typically occur first. The CNS signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia include altered mental status that proceeds to headache, malaise, impaired concentration, confusion, disorientation, irritability, lethargy, slurred speech, and irrational or uncontrolled behavior. More serious CNS effects include seizures and hemiplegia. At a blood glucose level of 10 milligrams per deciliter, hypoglycemia manifests as coma, pupillary dilation, shallow breathing, bradycardia, and hypotonicity. When responding to any in-hospital rapid response call where an adrenergic sign of hypoglycemia or altered mental status is present, a fingerstick blood glucose value should be checked immediately. Common causes of hypoglycemia in the inpatient setting are drug effect, usually insulin or other hypoglycemics, anti-diabetic medication use without appropriate carbohydrate intake, and critical illness such as major organ failure, sepsis, and severe trauma. Other more rare causes include endocrine disorders, tumors, ingestion of large amounts of alcohol or salicylates, a sudden reduction of corticosteroid dose, emesis, reduction of the rate of IV dextrose, interruption of enteral feedings or parenteral nutrition, and medication error. Treatment of hypoglycemia should occur as quickly as possible to prevent neurologic injury. The two decision points in treatment are, number one, whether the patient can take oral glucose, and number two, whether the patient has IV access. In patients with hypoglycemia who can take oral glucose, 20 grams of glucose should be administered. If glucose gel or tablets are not immediately accessible, 4 ounces of orange or apple juice can be used. In patients with hypoglycemia who are unable to take oral glucose, IV access should be established if it is not already, and 50 mLs of 50% dextrose for a total of 25 grams should be administered rapidly. In patients with hypoglycemia who are unable to take oral glucose and unable to establish IV access, glucagon 1 milligram intramuscularly should be administered immediately. Glucagon stimulates adenylate cyclase to produce increased cyclic AMP. This promotes hepatic glycogenolysis and gluconeogenesis, causing blood glucose levels to increase. This anti-hypoglycemic effect is dependent upon pre-existing hepatic glycogen stores. Extrahepatic effects of glucagon include relaxation of the smooth muscle of the stomach, duodenum, small bowel, and colon. Nausea and vomiting from glucagon is rare when used at a dose of a milligram IM. Once the hypoglycemia is treated, efforts should be made to evaluate and treat the underlying cause. A thorough review of recent and current medications is essential to this process, even if it is to rule out medications as a cause. Blood glucose should be rechecked 15 minutes after the first intervention. Additional blood glucose monitoring should be done depending on the cause of hypoglycemia. If the cause of hypoglycemia is due to a sulfonylurea, an antidote is available. Sulfonylureas work by stimulating insulin release from the pancreatic beta cells and reducing glucose output from the liver. A direct antidote to sulfonylureas is octreotide. Octreotide mimics natural somatostatin by inhibiting the release of serotonin, gastrin, VIP, insulin, glucagon, secretin, motilin, and pancreatic polypeptide. Usually, patients with hypoglycemia from sulfonylureas will have recurrent episodes of severe hypoglycemia until the sulfonylurea is cleared. Giving a subcutaneous dose of 50 to 100 micrograms of octreotide can stop the insulin release caused by sulfonylureas and stabilize the patient's blood glucose. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.